This is Northeast Indiana Now, your local podcast devoted to news and information from our corner of Indiana and elsewhere around the state. I'm Zach Bernard, filling in for Brianna Barrow this week. Here's what's going on today. The Indiana Senate on Wednesday rejected a handful of amendments to a redistricting bill designed to benefit Republicans. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, senators are headed towards a final vote on Thursday after months of pressure from Washington and threats to their careers and even families.
The Indiana House already passed the redistricting plan, which aims to help Republicans keep control over the U.S. House by flipping Democrats two congressional seats. But Republicans in the Indiana Senate have been much more divided on the issue. Republican Greg Good held a town hall to hear from his constituents and was one of the first lawmakers to face a swatting attempt that he says brought armed law enforcement into his house. Good says he's still undecided.
My vote, when it will always boil down. And this bill will be no different than any other piece of legislation I face. It will be in a way to reflect the voters of my district.
Good says he's keeping an open mind until the very end. I'm Ben Thorpe.
And WFYI's Zach Castle reports a national political group is behind these new maps.
The National Republican Redistricting Trust is a conservative political group. The trust was involved in drawing Texas's new congressional map earlier this year. Now, Indiana Republicans behind the redistricting bill say they received the proposed map from the trust, but they have not said if state funds were used to pay for it. Bill author Representative Ben Smaltz and the trust did not respond to WFYI requests for an interview. Democratic Representative Robin Shackelford opposes redistricting. She says the public deserves to know more about the map's origins.
If this is public policy, then I think it's crucial that we know who paid for this information and how it was paid for.
The proposed congressional map would split the Democratic stronghold of Marion County into four Republican-leaning districts. I'm Zach Castle.
State cuts to early childhood education will result in the closure of Lutheran Social Services Early Learning Center. The Children's Village Early Learning Center will close January 16th after nearly 20 years of providing child care to infants and toddlers. The agency announced the pending closure on Wednesday, citing the Indiana Family and Social Services Administration's suspension of vouchers for infants and newly qualified families as the cause. Earlier this year, state officials cut child care funding to help close the state's funding gap. The state-administered federal program provides financial support to low-income families for child care so parents can work, go to school, or attend training. Children's Village offered early learning on Fort Wayne Southeast Side for low-income families, using curriculum-based learning, as well as an intergenerational model with Lutheran Life Villages that included chapel time, small motor activities, and sing-alongs. Officials said that more than 1,500 families were served by the program. They're now working to help families secure new care arrangements. Brightpoint is the regional child care voucher agent and is assisting. State senators are advancing a new measure to increase immigration enforcement, but the Indiana Attorney General's office warns parts of the legislation run afoul of federal law. Samantha Horton has more.
The proposed Immigration Enforcement Act would require all governmental bodies, including law enforcement, to comply with federal immigration detainer requests. It would also make it unlawful for employers to recklessly or intentionally hire an unauthorized worker. The state's attorney general's office opposes the bill. The office's Aaron Tuttle says provisions for civil fines against employers are illegal.
The enforcement provisions added by the amendment, putting that enforcement under Department of Labor, is not only unworkable, but it is likely also unconstitutional.
Tuttle encouraged lawmakers to instead support another immigration bill, the Fairness Act, that she describes as the gold standard for immigration reform. I'm Samantha Horton.
The bill passed out of the Senate committee 6-2. Indiana's infant mortality rate was at a historic low last year, according to the Indiana Department of Health. Despite the decrease overall, black infants continue to die at the highest rate. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Tamoria Cunningham reports lack of prenatal care and overlooked health concerns are factors one expert says increase black infant mortality.
In 2023, black infants were dying before their first birthday at nearly double the rate compared to other racial or ethnic groups. There were over 13 deaths of black infants for every 1,000 births in Indiana, while white infants were slightly over 5. Joy Crenshaw is the president of the Indiana Black Breastfeeding Coalition. She says prenatal care is vital during pregnancy, especially during the first trimester, but many women don't receive care until they are 12 weeks pregnant. Crenshaw also says some healthcare providers also have an unconscious bias against Black women, which makes it difficult for their health concerns to be taken seriously.
When we are communicating our needs and what is happening in our bodies, we're just not taking it seriously. And so that dismissive thing that happens, then we have poor outcomes.
Crenshaw says providers need to address that bias in order to mitigate the issue. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Tamoria Cunningham.
Indiana schools already ban cell phones during instructional time, but a new proposal would lock them away for the entire day. Eric Weddle reports that lawmakers want to close the loopholes in the current law.
State Senator Jeff Ratz says the current rules vary too much from classroom to classroom. His bill would require schools to implement a no-device policy or use secure storage pouches from the first bell to dismissal. Ratz says the current system forces teachers to act as police rather than educators.
I think it's pretty onerous on a teacher to pay attention and make sure they're doing the best job they can to educate kids and getting after them on cell phones.
The state's largest teachers union, the Indiana State Teachers Association, supports the stricter ban, but is asking lawmakers for $5 million to help districts pay for the storage equipment. I'm Eric Weddle.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find these stories and more at WBOI.org or at the WBOI mobile app.